Welcome to Mattis Avenue Free Methodist Church, where we worship God, make disciples of Jesus Christ, and serve our community and world. The following is a recorded message based on God's holy word. We would love to see you for our worship services on Sunday mornings. For more information, visit www.mattisav.org or call 217-355-5947. And may God bless you.
Thank you, Jenny. Well, Happy New Year. There's a wide variety of things that people are doing to celebrate the new year, to ring in the new year. Hopefully you got some sleep this week. I know that we got some, just enough to make sure we were able to be here this morning. Maybe you have made charts and lists of things you want to accomplish because as my wife and I continue to discover, even after 23 years of marriage now, that there are different kinds of people approaching the New Year's plans. And there are those who make lists and goals and figure out how to achieve those. And then there are some of us who are just like, I would like to have a better year this year than last year. Here's a word, and I think that I'm going to try to focus on this word a little bit and see how this can... Anyways, there's a whole spectrum of people who approach the new year, and we have different kinds of plans, and the scripture that we're looking at this morning reveals to us and reminds us that no matter what our plans are for the year ahead, God has made plans for our lives. God has made plans for the cosmos that he has invited us to be a part of, right? As we were reminded with our children's message from Kaylee this morning, for God so loved the cosmos, right? It's so much bigger than any one of us and so much bigger than we even imagine as we make our plans. I have a question for you as we begin. How many of you have ever been whitewater rafting? Okay. If you've been before, you know that it's good for you to have techniques that you're aware of and like work together with the people in your raft, not just to have a good time, but to survive, right? And so you talk through the different ways and who's doing what. And even if you're just the kid, I mean, the very first time I went, everybody was worried because I had just developed epilepsy. So it's really fun to be the kid who everybody's aware you've just recently started having seizures in your life. Let's go whitewater rafting with him in our boat. Anyway, so I was given the task of being like the water bailer outer, right? So when water got in the boat, I was the kid with the bucket who was bailing out the water. It's a very important job. And you need to do that well. I've gone a couple times since then, and God's healed me from epilepsy, thankfully, and all these neat things. So now I get to paddle when I go whitewater rafting. But that very first time we went whitewater rafting, we had plans that we had made for the trip ahead. And even with the plans that we had made, there was one point where we needed to get out of the raft, climb the mountain, not mountain, but okay, but climb the rock formation ahead of us to look at the actual plan for what was going to happen as we went around the next few turns. So we could kind of agree on our plan as we navigated the waters ahead. No matter what the truth was about our plans, it was more important that we knew the truth of what actually lay ahead of us, right? Our scripture this morning is a bit like we're going to get out of the boat together for a second. And no matter what our plans are for the year ahead, it's good for us to actually look at the formation of what God has designed and how God has designed us so that no matter what our plans are, we know what actually the formation of what lay ahead is. Does that make sense? That's a fun way for me to help us think about it this morning. This is God's plan all along. So our text this morning comes from the book of Ephesians, right? Paul is writing to the people in Ephesus. There's this new, kind of similar to last week, there's this new community of believers made up of both Jews and Gentiles. And because there's this coming together of different cultures, there's a lot of question about, okay, what, I know your identity and I know our identity, but what is our identity together? And Paul is addressing them as one and saying, now I know that you've known these other things about who you were, but now you are together in Christ. And as you're together in Christ, here's some things I want you to remember, because it's not just going to be helpful. It will actually enable you to be alive. And the first thing is, you are united in Jesus now. Your life literally is only found in Jesus. When you're living outside of Jesus, when you're living as if Jesus isn't there, you're not actually living the identity that you've been given. You're not actually living, right? And so Paul is addressing them as a community and giving them hope for what they can be, because not because of who they are, not because of their great faithfulness, but because of who we know God to be and what God has revealed to us in Jesus. And so our passage this morning, it's kind of neat. This passage from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14, this is the longest sentence in the Bible. All right. Now, I know it's several sentences in our English versions, but in the Greek, this is one really long run-on sentence, because Paul is just so excited to bless them. This passage today isn't even the meat of the letter that Paul is sending, but there's so much in this introduction to the letter that it's enough for us to just chew on together this morning as we're looking at 2026 together. So listen to the words of Paul. I'm going to let Becky scroll forward into the scripture here. Listen to these words from Ephesians chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, the cosmos, to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ, we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we who were the first to set our hope on Christ might live for the praise of his glory. In him, you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, you were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory. Amen. Jesus, we are so thankful for the words from your living word this morning. And God, I ask, even as we turn our hearts to understanding your word in new ways, that your spirit would come and open our hearts and open your word to our hearts. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Whew. I mean, if you just look at that passage and you ask the question, God, what is true about your plans for me, your plans for us as your people? There are a lot of things that you might even be drawn to just circle. Here's a hint. You can circle things in your Bible. I know that the Bible is holy, and I know that some of us, you may have been trained to like not do anything to your Bible that may seem, but do it. God wants you to underline and to circle and to highlight and to scribble notes on the side. Do what helps you pay attention to God's word in the moment that you're in. You will find it really, really helpful. Okay, we're going to keep going. So the first thing I want us to pay attention to, a thing that I believe God wants us to be aware of as we move into 2026, is this. We are blessed, right? It's there in the very first part of the passage. And he uses the word three times here in just this first phrase. And the word here is this word that we get our word eulogy from, right? And I've talked about it here before. It just means good words. That we say good words to God because God has spoken powerfully effective blessings over us in Jesus Christ. And this concept of blessing someone wasn't just saying good words for the sake of saying good words. Well, in Scripture, we see it over and over again that when God blesses, it is actively toward a purpose. I mean, just some examples. He blesses the creatures in the sea and the birds in the air in Genesis. And as he blesses them, he says, be fruitful and increase. And then he blesses humanity and he says, be fruitful and increase. And then he blesses Sarah, Abraham's wife, so that she will become the mother of nations. And then he blesses Isaac and increases the number of his descendants. The living word of Jesus Christ includes every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. Everything the author is thinking of that could ever be declared over us is declared in the person of Jesus for the sake of us joining the fruitful, healing salvation of God. Empowered by his Holy Spirit here today in and through us. This is God's plan for you in 2026. The second one that I want us to focus on is that we are chosen. Right? Verse 4 declares this, reminds us of this. That the purpose of Christ is to bring together all things in existence for the glorification of God. Colossians 1 verse 16 says, I think I have this on your notes sheet. Yes. Colossians 1:16 reminds us that Jesus existed even before he arrived in the flesh, right? It was the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem, but God the Son existed way back at the foundations of all things that were made. Colossians says, everything was made through him and for him, and all things hold together in him. There's this purpose revealed in the Son, in the person of Jesus, who is one person of the Trinity. And this purpose is revealed as all things being united together for the purposes of bringing God glory. We see that happening in the living Jesus. We see that happening in the death of Jesus. We see that happening in the resurrection of Jesus and this Spirit being sent by Jesus to continue this work of all things being summed up, right? Brought together for the purposes of God, set apart for him. And so as we are alive in Jesus, in the life of Jesus, we join that same purpose. As you and I are alive in Christ, our purpose then is that all things will be brought together to give glory to God the Father. Not as a new idea, but as the purpose of all things that have ever been brought into existence. The plan for our year ahead. But then also we remember that we're not only chosen in Christ, but also we are part of God's chosen people. God took the initiative on behalf of all humanity, choosing the people Israel to be his covenant people. He adopted them as his children so that through them all of humanity can capture this vision of what it looks like when God is in relationship with his people once again. Which brings us to number three. it will bring us to... Here we go. Oh, nope. I skipped way ahead somehow. There we go. One more back, I think. There we go. We are his children, right? Verse 5. By saying he destined us through Jesus here to a group of both Hebrews, right, Jews and Gentiles. He's revealing, Paul is revealing that we are members of God's covenant people, not because of who we are or our backgrounds, but because of who God is and what God is now doing. We become part of these people that are known as God's children. We often talk about this concept in a way that's heartwarming, right? We have become God's children. We get this visual image of all the kids up here this morning seated around Kaylee, and we think of ourselves in those positions, right? Sitting before Jesus on this throne as his kids, and it's inspiring, and it heals some of our identity because we are all loved and raised by imperfect parents, even my kids, right? We're all loved and raised by imperfect parents, and so there's this healing capability of the presence of God as our Father, and we allow our hearts to be healed in that kind of love. And yet the word here in chapter 1 of Ephesians is not the word for just children. We are adopted as his children. I know it sounds the same, right? But the word that Paul is using here is this legal term. That means someone who is able to join in the, not only dependence, but also having full legal standing. We're able to join in the work of God as those who are joining in the tasks that the family of God are entrusted with. With full legal standing, we are brought in as his adopted heirs. Someone who is fully capable and mature enough to care for the family estate. That's the identity that we've been given in Jesus Christ. Now, yes, it does also scripture, as one of the scriptures we read this morning, and 1 John chapter 3, 1 and 2, we are dependent on God as our provider. But we also join in expressing the reign and rule of God as Jesus does. How do we do that? We'll get to that in a second. Verse 13, we talk about the Holy Spirit, but we got a little bit more I want to talk about. You've seen this screen already, so you know the word. We are redeemed. Now, this is worth a confession for a moment, because if we celebrate that we are those who are redeemed, it means that we have to honestly say we were in need of redemption. We've been saved from something. We've been saved, we've been set free from something. We've been brought from death to life. And we cannot celebrate the life that we've been brought into, the freedom we've brought into, if we're not being honest about the death that we were connected to, the chains that we were originally held by, that we're no longer held by. We're not giving them power that's not due them, but we look back and we are thankful for the ways that God has redeemed. The word here, we have liberation. We have deliverance. Even this morning, I was able to pray with someone who was worried about the powers that evil might have in their life. And the freedom that the presence of Jesus brings, you just see it happen as we prayed together. The being reminded that God has defeated Satan and any power that ever was has no authority over us as we're living in Jesus who is on the throne already. Amen. We are redeemed. We are released. We have forgiveness of all the places where we have unexpectedly fallen short of his desires for us. And the question for you and I as we look back over 2025 or even further in our lives, when's the last time you unexpectedly fell short of being what someone else wanted or being what someone else needed or someone else expected you to be? When is the last time you fell short of those expectations? Maybe you're here today and you feel those more regularly than you'd like to admit. We fall short of the demands that are placed on us on a regular basis. And God knows these things. God knows the vulnerabilities of human expectations. He became human. He had the expectations of others placed on him. He knows what that's like. And he says to you and to I this morning, you've been set free from those chains. Not that there are no expectations on us at all. There are expectations. There are freedoms that God calls us to live in. There's a new identity that God's given to us. And he has hopeful expectations. He has loving expectations. But he sets us free from performance-based expectations. And he invites us to walk with him, to know him in ways that we could never have known him before, as we were burdened by those expectations as part of our identity. He says to us, you are unburdened. You are made complete already in Jesus Christ. He sets you free from falling short in your identity by lavishing on us, right? That word of lavished on us. He lavishes on us this grace, this undeserved grace. And we cannot deny this next one, that we are those who have knowledge. And we don't have knowledge because of anything we've done. I know this is a university town, so there's also this temptation to say, I have knowledge because I have studied these things. I've learned these things. With the left side of my brain, I can answer the questions. I can fill in the blanks. Yes, those things are great because we can share the knowledge in certain ways because of that. But we have knowledge. All wisdom and insight has been made known to us through the mystery of God's will in Jesus. We see the desires of God brought together in the person of Jesus in every way. And we know that we once lived in a trusting relationship with that knowledge. We knew that we knew what we knew. Until the tempter came and told us, maybe there's something you don't know. And we began to wonder, maybe there is something we don't know. Maybe there is something that we haven't been told. We began to live into our identity as those who might not know the thing we're supposed to know. And God is saying to us and reminding us for 2026, we are those who have this knowledge revealed in Jesus Christ. That in Jesus Christ, heaven and earth are brought together. And because we are followers of Christ, we've received this Spirit sent by Christ, we become those people in whom and through whom heaven and earth come together. The presence of God, the presence of humanity, we are the living revelation of that same knowledge. Ephesians 3 verse 10 tells us that through the church, right? Not just Sunday mornings, but through us living out God's identity that he's given to us. Hector and Genevieve shared their stories of living overseas and just naturally living actively as believers in Jesus. People began to know things that were true about the love of God just because of who they lived as in their community. It's a reminder to us, we live in ways as the church that reveal God's desire that we would walk with God and walk in relationship with God, walk as those who know what salvation is, this healing presence and desire and power of God as Jesus is on his throne. Then number six, this one gets exciting. We have an inheritance. We've obtained this inheritance in Jesus Christ, not on our own. We've not earned this inheritance according to the purposes that God has revealed in Jesus. And not just so that we can hold on to it, right? There are some inheritances you might find out about in life that you get so excited about because you can put it in an account and it will sit there and you'll feel comfortable because it's in an account and it can help you sometime in the future possibly. This is not like saying I have an inheritance coming when my great-great-grandfather passes. This is more like saying I have an inheritance as the great-great-grandson of a farming family. Is that helpful? That means there's something out there for me to be a part of. There's an identity I get to join now because I've inherited this identity that is actively doing things and bearing fruit for the sake of others in our world, even today. It's an inheritance that we're made aware of and join immediately as those who have inherited this identity in Jesus Christ. So that we who put our first hope in Christ, right? Now he does kind of separate out saying there are those of us who did put our hope in this Messiah who was coming, and we're living for the praise of his glory even now. He does kind of separate out the Jewish believers and the Gentile believers in this one statement. But he says, we who put our hope in the coming Messiah before he even came. Now in that same Messiah, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, you had believed in him. You were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. That this Spirit is the pledge, right? Is this deposit, this down payment guaranteeing our inheritance, guaranteeing our identity and this future redemption fully as his own, his possession, his prized possession. That through us, right, the reign and rule of God is being proclaimed even now, as one day it will be fully established and revealed through each of us in these lives that we're living as we live in Jesus. The question that we have then, if you have your note sheet, hopefully you can look at all six of these at the same time. Is there one of these in particular that God is saying, as you look ahead to 2026... is there one of these in particular that God is saying, out of all of these, I would love for you to lean into this aspect of my plans for your life? Will you live as though you know that you are blessed? Will you live as though you know that you have been chosen by God for these purposes? Will you live as if you know you are his children? Not just his kid, like who depends on him, but his children. You are adopted as someone who can make decisions for the family, who can join the caretaking of the household, who can act as one of the family of God. Will you live as if you know you have been redeemed? You have been delivered. You have been set free from those things that bound us previously. Will you live as though you know the knowledge that God has given us in his Son, Jesus Christ? Not just the history of Jesus, but the ongoing life of Jesus by his Spirit today, which leads to number six. Will you live as though you know you have an inheritance? Not just an inheritance that you will inherit someday, but inheritance that affects who you are, your identity that you've received. Will you live as one who knows you're a part of a family that is doing the work of God as his kingdom is coming on earth as it is in heaven? No matter what's happened this past year, no matter where you are in your relationship with God today, all six of these things are true as we come to God in Jesus Christ. Right in the middle of them all, we have that verse 7 that reminds us of the forgiveness of our trespasses. Anything that may cause you to question whether something on this list is true for you specifically, we key in on that verse, verse 7, where we're reminded we have been forgiven, we have been redeemed from anything that might keep us or prevent us from living as those for whom these plans of God are true. So I want to invite us to do something together this morning. In early Methodism, John Wesley regularly invited people to renew their covenant as followers of Jesus. And he offered a full covenant service that invited things like confession and prayer and recommittal of our hearts in the presence of the Holy Spirit. We're going to come to the moments of communion here in a moment. But before we move into communion, I would like to offer us this time of covenant renewal. We're not going to do the entire service because it's what John Wesley did and what we inherited as those who follow his tradition is a pretty long service. If you ever want to look it up or if you'd want a copy, I can email you a copy this week. But what I've done here is just taken some of the prayer from the end of the service because there are powerful words of covenant renewal here. Some of it sounds a bit heavy. And I think that's good for us. Some of it sounds a bit like it's trying to lay guilt on our shoulders. It's talking about sin, right? It's realistic in its words. We don't use these words a lot. It's good for us to be reminded that we do fall short. We can confess together. We need to confess together that we fall short of what God's desires are for us. And yet we are invited as those who have fallen short to be those who are made holy, even still in the presence and in the love and the power and the authority of Jesus Christ. So we're going to move into this covenant moment. I want to invite you, whatever the position of prayer is that's good for you, I want to invite you to take that position. If it's just sitting right you where you are, that's fine. If you want to kneel, if you want to stand, if you want to come to the altar, whatever is good for you for joining these next moments of covenant prayer, I'm going to lead you. The words will be on the screen that we're going to say together. There'll be some words that I speak and some words that we speak together. Let's open our hearts to what God would desire. Let's pray together. My righteous God, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, see me now as I fall down before you. Forgive my unfaithfulness when I have not done your will. You promise mercy if I turn to you with my whole heart. God requires that you rid yourself of every idol in your life. From the bottom of my heart, I here and now renounce every idol in my life, covenanting with you that I will not commit any known sin. By turning against your will, I have turned my love toward the world. In your power, I will watch for any temptation that will lead me away from you. Through Jesus Christ, God offers to be your God again if you allow him to be. Before all heaven and earth, I here and now acknowledge you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as my Lord and God. I vow to give all of myself, body and soul, to be your servant and to serve you in holiness and righteousness all the days of my life. Jesus Christ is the only way and means to God. God has given us Jesus as the way and means to salvation. Jesus, I here and now accept you as the only new and living way. I join myself in covenant with you. I come to you hungry, sinful, miserable, blind, and naked, unworthy even to wash the feet of your servants. With all my power, I accept you as my Lord and head. I renounce my own unworthiness and vow that you are the Lord, my righteousness. I renounce my own wisdom and take you for my only guide. I renounce my own will and take your will as my law. Christ has told you that you must suffer with him. Jesus, I hear and now make this covenant with you and accept whatever comes in life. Through your grace, I promise that neither life nor death will separate me from you. God has given holy laws as the rule of your life. I here and now willingly take on your yoke and burden. All your laws are holy, just, and good. I accept them as the rule for my words, thoughts, and actions, promising I will strive to order my whole life around your direction. I will not allow myself to neglect anything I know to be my duty. The Almighty God searches and knows you, even the thoughts of your heart. O God, you know that we have made this covenant today in sincerity, without deceit or reluctance. If you find anything false in me, guide me and help me to set it right. And now, glory be to you, God the Father, from this day forward, I shall look upon you as my God and Father. Glory be to you, God the Son. You have loved me and washed me from my sins in your own blood. From this day forward, I shall look upon you as my Savior and Redeemer. Glory be to you, O God, the Holy Spirit. By your almighty power, you have turned my heart from sin to God. From this day forward, I shall look upon you as my Comforter and Guide. O mighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you have now become my covenant friend, and I, through your infinite grace, have become your covenant servant. You are mine and I am yours, so be it. May this covenant that I have made here on earth be ratified in heaven. Amen. Amen.